Hey guys, this is the Hive Podcast with Boss B. Welcome to yet another episode on the season. And as expected, today we have another guest. So we basically grew up together, so she's no stranger to me. And I chose her specifically for this subject because I have always wondered how she does it. I tell you, she's a Wonder Woman, honestly, because finding a work-life balance, even as a single person, for me, with not so many responsibilities, is not easy. But here is this one who is a missus, a mother of three, and an entrepreneur running somewhat a conglomerate. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mrs. Rich Bennett in the Hive today. She is into event management. She has a spa. She runs an NGO. And she is an amazing writer as well. So, Nessa, it's good to have you
Thanks
here.
For having
this
me
has
here.
Been quite a long time coming, but I'm glad we got to do this.
I'm definitely glad we got to do this.
So, let's not drag this whole intro thing and let's just get into today's stuff because there is a lot to talk about.
Yep.
Right. So, Nessa, my first question to you is, have you ever, before this, did you ever come across the concepts of work-life balance? And considering the roles you play currently, would you say that it is an achievable feat for people with so many responsibilities like yourself?
Work-life balance. So I think I knew what it was without actually knowing that there was a term for it. But for me, it means the equilibrium or harmony an individual seeks to achieve between their professional life, which is their work-related responsibilities, and their personal lives, which include their families, leisure, hobbies, and self-care. So it's able to strike the right balance. And by striking this balance, I mean between the time and energy you devote to work and the time and energy you devote to other aspects of life. So, for instance, considering the roles I currently play as a wife, a mom, and an entrepreneur, and quite honestly, I'm someone that likes to take on a lot. Sometimes I take it on thinking, oh, I'll be able to do it, and then I may end up being overwhelmed, but I am someone that sees everything through, so I'm going to do it. So what's happening is that currently I have a spa, I have a catering business, I have an event startup, I have a bread business, I have a YouTube channel where I cook, and I'm also an author. So how do I do all these things and still find the time to spend with my kids? Because believe it or not, I'm a mom of three who doesn't have any house help. What I do is I fall on the help of my family from time to time, but for most part of it, I'm doing it by myself. So how am I able to do this? I am intentional about my work hours, about my schedule. This is the time I want to spend with my family. This is the time I want to invest in my work. And that is just how it has worked for me, to consistently put the effort into it.
wonderful. I think you've made it quite relatable for those of us who think we are Atlas and want to carry the world. And I love what you said about being intentional, because to be honest, I think it all boils down to making room for all other aspects of life at every point in your life. But for sure, that doesn't come without challenges. So let me ask, what has been your greatest challenge with striking the balance between work and life as a mother and a wife specifically?
Oh my God. You know, I'm very candid and I like to be very, very open and honest about some of like the things that I face as a mommy, which I wish like someone had told me, you know. And I'm not going to lie, Jess, I'm not going to lie to you. Being a mom of three and an entrepreneur can be very, very rewarding, but it comes with challenges. Sometimes I ask myself, Nessa, who sent you? Who sent you to do all these things? Who sent you? But off the top of my head, though, I can call time management. Just juggling your responsibilities, running your business, and taking care of your children, it can be very overwhelming sometimes. And what I found that works is that you have to prioritize, and then maybe that will just be fine. And also, I feel guilty sometimes when I dedicate time to my business at the expense of my children. I feel guilty. And when I dedicate time to my children at the expense of my other babies, which are my businesses, I also feel guilty. So there's this internal pressure to excel in both roles. And sometimes it's very taxing. You get it. I have also had to work from home for a while now, so I have delegated some of the responsibilities to other people who report to me. And what happens is that there's a lack of separation. It's challenging to separate work and family life physically and mentally, because you are in the house and then there are interruptions and it's difficult to focus. You get it. And then I prioritize everything in the family, in my business. I prioritize everything above my own needs, and so I neglect my own personal time. So for me, the fourth point will be neglecting my personal time. And sometimes, which brings me to my fifth point, which is the difficulty to switch off. All entrepreneurs know what I'm talking about. It's difficult to turn off your mind consciously. I'm not thinking about my business. In our sleep, we think about our business. What can I do? Should I run a promo? Should I do this? Recently, I saw this meme and it showed a normal person who works an 8-to-5 sleeping, and then it showed an entrepreneur sleeping. And it was funny because there's so much on the mind of an entrepreneur, how to make their business move forward. And it's just like that. I thought about it. I looked at it and I thought about myself. And I said, this is so me, because it's so difficult for me to switch off. And the last point I'm going to talk about is a limited social life. Juggling the demands of motherhood and entrepreneurship leaves little time for socializing, maintaining friendships. And I've lost friends because of this. And it leads to feeling isolation sometimes.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that you sometimes feel guilty when you dedicate time to your family at the expense of your business and vice versa. I have been there, especially back in school where I was involved in campus ministry, and it got to a point it felt like I had to choose my studies over God or doing the things of God. And I think a lot of church leaders plant that idea in the minds of a lot of students, so it becomes really tough when they have to find the balance between schoolwork and ministerial work. It can be challenging. So let me ask this: what has been the method you have relied on most to ensure that you get things done as an entrepreneur and as a mother and a wife as well?
For me, the techniques and strategies that have worked for me this far are to create a schedule, By this, I mean I've developed a daily schedule that allocates specific time blocks for work, for family, personal activities, and I stick to it as much as possible to maintain some semblance of a routine. Just the goal here is to ensure productivity and to get things done
exactly
properly. So as a mom of three, I also set realistic goals for myself. What can I achieve within this time frame? And how do I achieve them? And I break them into smaller tasks and larger tasks and manageable steps. Okay. The third thing that has worked for me is delegation and outsourcing.
Yeah.
I don't know who needs to hear this. You need to delegate. You need to trust the team that you're working with. You need to trust somebody that they are well trained and they will be able to do it. This is how I've been able to run things both in my business and in my household. And another thing that is very important is I have learned to say no.
Yeah.
I say no if your project or your request or your task does not align with my priorities. If I cannot make time for it, if it's going to come at a cost, it's going to eat into my personal time, my family time, my business time, then no. But if our goals align, then yes. So I have learned to say no. I don't know who needs to hear this, but it's okay to say no. There's no beef, okay? Just say no. And take time to reflect and adjust. I regularly assess my productivity methods and I see which parts need to be adjusted, which things needs to change, which things should I keep doing. And these are the few things that have worked for me personally.
All right, so guys, I hope you are taking notes. Be intentional, learn to manage your time, set realistic goals, and most importantly, delegate and outsource. And these are just a few of the things that we have learned so far into this topic. So Nessa, I'm glad you mentioned these, because basically these are the methods I have relied on to when I feel I'm being overwhelmed. And oh, the part about saying no. Hey, honestly, I wish I knew this now. And I think the people pleasers will struggle with this a lot, because I have been there. Once upon a time, I used to be a people pleaser too. And let me say this, people pleasing is not kindness. Please take that thought out of your mind. People pleasing is not kindness. But that's something that I'll probably talk about later on. But let's just get back to this. Yes, let's just get back to this topic for now. So Nessa, before you became a mother, how different was a work-life balance to you, say, in your prime?
In the prime of my life, you say?
I thought I was still in the prime of my life, right?
Anyways, I guess I understand what you're trying to say. So I'm going to let it go. Anyways, in the prime of my life, I thought I was still in the prime of my life though. Okay, but I guess I know what you're trying to say. So, before kids and even before marriage for that matter, I have always strived to find the balance between schoolwork and social life. Because I am so serious, my head is always buried in one book after the other. I will read courses that legit had nothing to do with me, and I had no business reading because I had my own coursework to read anyways. But I'm that person. I just wanted to know. I need to know. So I'm going to read. And when my head wasn't buried in a book, I was watching one series after the other. So what I figured was I didn't have much of a social life. And then I didn't know of work-life balance, but I was like, how do I better my social life? How do I give myself a better social standing? So like, I'm an all-rounded person. I'm book smart, and I'm also like a lively social person who is like fun to hang out with. How do I do that? So I started consciously putting effort into it, making time to hang out with my friends more often. I used to take myself out on dates. Yo, if you're single, take yourself out on dates, my girl. It's fun. Go to the movies, go and eat at an expensive restaurant, like treat yourself. You don't need anyone to do that, okay? Give yourself that experience. I learned so much about myself during that time. And at times, I just spend time gisting with my family. Like, I like to gist a lot. So I make a conscious effort to, you know, ask my mom, so how was things like maybe when you were growing, when you were coming up? And she would always have something interesting to tell me. So, yes. And when I started to date, I create time for me and my person. I was never too busy for him. And I made sure to carve out time to do things for me that made me happy and balanced. And so that's how I created my work-life balance. I remember also being very much involved in church, in youth activities. I was everywhere. Like, I practically lived in the church. And I also worked with an NGO called Shonkon, which is for kids with disabilities. And we would go on trips to various regions in the country, just reaching out to them, fellowshipping with them, donating to them. And it gave me purpose and it gives me some semblance of a work-life balance.
You know, as an HR person, let me just say this. It has become crucial that we talk about this because years before the human relations movement began, which eradicated the school of thought that employees were not to be regarded as resources but manpower, for lack of a better term. Well, as long as they get the job done, I don't care what your mental state is. This was basically the tune every employer back then sang. But now it has come to the realization of people in management that the mental state of an employee affects not just the productivity of the employee, but the growth of the firm. So basically, the mental state of an organization's workers could have an adverse effect on production.
Yes.
And drastically at the like top level. Yes, and sometimes it's the workload and certain systems in place or certain decisions made by management themselves. So the issue of work-life balance doesn't get talked of as much as it should be, Nessa. So at this point, what factors do you think are at play when it comes to work-life balance? What do you think are the impediments that make it nearly impossible for adults to strike a balance between work and other life-related issues, say personal life, family, etc.? Coming from the business side, I would say managerial decisions, but from the family life POV, what do you think? Like I said, from the managerial side, it could be certain systems are put in place by management, blah blah blah. But then from the family side, you know, what do you think comes to play when it comes to work-life balance? What do you think are the roadblocks or obstacles that make it nearly impossible for adults to strike that balance between work and other life-related issues?
Wow, that's a loaded question. That's a loaded one. So, I think that for many adults, what happens is, one, work demands. The nature of people's jobs itself, sometimes the way their job is and their work environment, it impacts their work-life balance. Some jobs require you to be there for long hours with a high workload with tight deadlines. Some of them require people to travel frequently, so it makes it challenging for them to find time for their personal or family life. So such people, you cannot really blame them. So for instance, my husband, he has a very good work-life balance, and I think even when we were dating, he would tell me that he wants to be that daddy that is hands-on, that is involved, that is home. He doesn't want to be the daddy that is out for most of the time and then comes home for only a short period of time, and then the kids see him maybe only in the evenings, and even that one is briefly because they are going to bed. He didn't want to be that kind of father. And how that looked like to him is set up systems, set up workplaces, businesses, and popping on them like daily to check up on your businesses, but be home mostly and you know, be there for your kids. So what does that looks like for us now is, now that our kids are in school, we use their school hours to run our businesses, to do our individual things. But even with him being in the IT field, being a web developer, sometimes he has his peak seasons where like he's actively coding and working on something, and he, I tell you, at that moment he doesn't have any work-life balance. He doesn't have he has a tight schedule and he's trying to meet a deadline, and so he can code from morning till evening, not even sleep through the night coding. But those are like just for a few days at a time. It's not our lifestyle. So I think that even if you know that you have this tight schedules and this is the nature of your work, you can make something work. Again, I think family responsibilities and obligations such as taking care of the children, elderly parents, managing household tasks, they can consume a significant portion of an adult's time and energy, and they will not put much time and effort into their personal lives, you get it, because they are so busy taking care of others. And one thing that is very popular in Accra here is the commute time, the long commute to and from work. They can eat up into your personal time, because how are you waking up at 3 a.m getting ready for work because you want to beat traffic, and then coming back home as late as 10 p.m or 11 p.m and so how, what time do you have to work on your personal life, you get it? So one thing, especially here in Accra, that I know that is doing this is the commute time. And then technology and connectivity, the constant connectivity through smartphones and laptops blurs the boundaries between work and personal life, making it challenging to disconnect from work related activities. I have a cousin who spent last year with me because she was doing her national service and she was working from home. Initially we thought that was a good thing, but then it turned out to be a really bad thing because she'd wake up early in the morning before work hours, and then she'd be on a call with her boss sometimes as early as 6 a.m. She's on a call with her boss, and she'd start work as early as then and work as late as 9 p.m., 10 p.m. She's still behind her laptop working because she needs to beat a deadline, or she needs to deliver on something. And it's quite problematic. And this is been made so because of technology, which is supposed to help us, but this is one of the costs of technology. I think that we glorify the workaholic culture, the strong, independent woman, those things. And so it becomes very, very difficult. Even the Bible says in Matthew 6:24 that no one can serve two masters. So you know that it's challenging.
All right. So do you think there are ways to ensure that we are not letting one outweigh the other, in the sense that we are giving equal attention to both our work and our personal lives?
Indeed. I don't believe that there is any problem that we face here on earth that doesn't have a solution. And at the risk of sounding creepy,
right,
I would say even the Bible states in Matthew that no one can serve two masters. either you'd hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. So even this passage highlights the challenge of trying to divide your attention equally between two competing priorities, where these priorities is our work as well as our family life. I feel like if you want to have somewhat of a balance, then you have to find a job that is flexible. So look for jobs that offer more flexibility and autonomy, so that you have better control over your work schedule, and it will make it easier to balance work and personal life, so that work is not all you are about. Again, use your family structure. So the dynamics of your family, including the presence of a supportive partner, can significantly impact your ability to divide your attention between work and your personal responsibilities. So you recall I said I use my family, I rely on my family heavily, because sometimes I have to tell them like 2 months ahead of time, or 3 months ahead of time, or a week to time, but I let them know that I need you, and are you going to show up for me at this time so I can dedicate this time to this? Do you get it? So you have to do that. You also have to establish clear work hours and boundaries. As I said, you cannot go to work, close, come home, and due to technology be called to work whilst you're supposed to be home. So set specific hours for work. Communicate with your colleagues and your family members. The family members in the case of you're working from home. This is my work hours, and I don't want to focus on personal and family issues within these hours. And I think that will work. And then you have to also practice mindfulness and time management. Be present and mindful in each moment. Whether you're at work or whether you're having your personal time, you have to prioritize your task. You have to use your time management techniques, avoid multitasking to enhance productivity, and create a space for both work and personal life. These are some of the things that have worked for me, but I think that they can apply to anybody else.
Great, you mentioned that the job you choose affects your work-life balance. Definitely. Because I'm actually conducting a study on the importance of choosing jobs that match your personality. Because if you are someone who is easily trained by people, please avoid jobs that require that you have to deal with people on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Because if you are someone who struggles with communication and are very impatient, and you're on the front lines having to deal with people on a daily basis, trust me, you will be drained. And that can equally have a negative effect on your work-life balance. Even forget about your work-life, it would have an effect on your performance at work. And that would in turn have a negative effect on your work-life balance. So don't just chase money on your quest to find a job. Chase mental well-being and peace of mind too. All right, so on to the next important thing. In the case of students, and by that I mean teens, we have all been there. Do you think this whole work-life balance thing affects them? And if so, in what ways?
Oh, yes, definitely. Work-life balance can also affect teenagers. Even though traditionally it's used to refer to adults balancing between work and their personal lives, it's equally relevant to students. Because teenagers have to, or young people have to, navigate academic responsibilities, so extracurricular activities, their social life, their personal interest as well. So they need to find a good balance between all of these in order to impact their well-being and their academic performance, which is the yardstick, really. So I think how it affects them is, one, academic performance. If there is an imbalance between schoolwork and personal life, it can negatively impact your academic performance.
Yes.
Too much focus on extracurricular activities or personal interests without dedicating enough time to studies may lead to lower grades, all things being equal. Again, students can suffer from stress and burnout, just like adults. They experience stress and burnout when they are trying to manage a very busy schedule without sufficient time for relaxation and self-care. Some students are A students, they are A athletes, and they have so much pressure to just not, like, you know, drop the ball or something. Yeah. So they end up being physically and mentally exhausted. Okay. And in terms of the extracurricular activities, while they are valuable for personal growth and skill development, overcommitment to these activities can lead to time conflicts and exhaustion, just like I was already saying. And when it comes to social responsibilities, they may lack a balance because the students may not be able to nurture meaningful relationships, impacting their emotional well-being and the sense of connection if they are too engrossed in their studies.
Yeah.
Again, let's talk about the sleep and the health. Poor work-life balance can disrupt your sleep patterns, your nutrition, exercise routines, potentially leading to health issues. So this topic is as relevant to teens and students as much as it's relevant to adults as well. It's important for students to also strive to find a good work-life balance, in my opinion.
Now, back to individuals who are doing everything possible to make ends meet and cannot afford to strike a balance between work and social life. For example, young families who have no choice but to work off the grind to keep food on the table, a roof over their families, especially the pressure on young men today and on entrepreneurs who have businesses to nurture, especially in an economy like Ghana. What would you tell them, coming from someone who has had to carry all the weights known to man? And how important do you think work-life balance is to a budding family?
I'll tell them to remember that work-life balance is not about achieving an equal split of time. You may be listening and be thinking that this is not for me because, you know, I'm at the start of my entrepreneurship journey. I've not achieved half of the things I want to achieve. I don't have time to make for other things. I just have to, like, invest in my business and put it all in my business at, and other areas of my life could just wait. No, I'm not talking about achieving an equal split of time between your work and your personal life. Okay? It's about making conscious efforts to take care of yourself whilst you're navigating the demands of building your business. And as your business grows and stabilizes, you can gradually work towards a more balanced approach. So maybe in the beginning, let's say it's an 80-20 where 80% of you is being focused into your business and at least 20% of you is focused on family and personal life. You get it. It's about getting the balance, but then don't give 100% of you to one aspect at the total neglect of the other. That's what we are talking about. But as your business grows and stabilizes, you can gradually work towards a more balanced approach, as I said. So in the beginning stages like this, how do you do it? You set realistic goals. Acknowledge that my business may require more attention because I'm at the initial stages. Set realistic goals for both your business and your personal life. Talk to your family. Talk to, if you're a lady, talk to your wife, your husband. If you're a man, talk to your wife. Talk to your children. You know, maybe your children are at the stage that they will not understand. But do you get what I'm saying? Manage expectations. Set realistic goals so that you can focus. Which brings me to the second point, which is focusing on your priorities. Identify the most critical task that require your immediate attention.
in
both your business and your personal life, and prioritize these things to make the best use of your time.
Girl, you know.
Again, make flexible work arrangements. If possible, explore flexible work arrangements that allow you to manage your time more effectively.
Absolutely.
That might involve remote working or non-traditional work hours. Okay. And very, very important. This point is very dear to me. You have to delegate. You have to delegate and outsource. Consider delegating. Consider outsourcing tasks that can be handled by others, especially in your business. You can't do it all. You can't be the accountant, be the manager, be the HRM. You can't do everything, okay? So at least find one person or two individuals that you can trust, even though it's a startup, and do this with them. That way you can have some semblance of work-life balance in your life.
So folks, Nessa, was so nice having you
Thanks
here.
For having me here.
Thanks so much for doing this with me, and I absolutely can't wait to come back and listen to this again myself, to be honest. And to all of you who listened in, you guys are the real MVPs. God bless, and do stick around for more juicy topics. Till next time, this was The Hive. Have a wonderful weekend.